morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Morning. It is June 7th, 2021. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by FogCouture.com. So let's get your day going with a little magic. So every month we pick a theme of quotes to go with. We've done quite a few. We've done some about perseverance. We've done some about all kinds, whatever the month comes up with. So this month we are doing quotes about pride, Pride Month. And so you may have a little bit of history with each quote. And yeah, today we'll talk a little bit more in depth about pride, but let's just get going. So our quote of the day is, "If I want for someone else to validate my existence, it will mean that I am shortchanging myself," by Zanel Muhali. Zanel Muhali is a South African activist and artist. She works primarily in photography and video. Despite her fame as an artist, Muhali identifies herself as an activist first. It is her intention to use her art to highlight the beauty and individuality of Black LGBTQ women, a group that she believes has been terribly underrepresented in all forms of art. So instead of waiting for someone else to validate LGBT women of color, she took upon it herself to bring the struggles, needs, and beauty of these women to light. So what are we drinking today? We are drinking our second tea for the season, which is Midsummer. I'm gonna take a sip. Prepare yourselves. So Midsummer is a completely herbal tea, so it has no caffeine. It's about 5 to 10 minutes steep time. So this is probably the most expensive tea we've ever done. I did not raise the price for you guys. I really just want all the teas to be the same price, and they tend to balance out, you know? But this is definitely the biggest punch on my wallet, but it is so worth it. So this tea has dragon fruit. Dragon fruit is a member of the cactus family. This tropical fruit has an unparalleled essence that brews up into an exhilarating infusion for summertime sweetness. It has apple pieces, rose hips, hibiscus, lemon verbena, orange, dragon fruit, pineapple, strawberries, marigold flowers, and rose petals. Wow. Like, if there was ever a tea to make you think of midsummer, I feel like it's this tea. So today, I wanted to talk about one of the very witchy herbs in this tea, and that is lemon verbena. So this information comes to us from dreaminggoddess.com. Lemon verbena is great for protection, love magic, and to boost power of charms. Burn over charcoal, add to charm bags, blends, and use as an offering. Some wear it in this manner as an aid to increasing charms and attracting the opposite sex, while others wear a sprig around their neck to stop dreaming. It can also be used in addition to other charms to otherwise increase their power. Tradition and folklore hold that lemon verbena can be a powerful aid in magic, being of particular use in both protection and love spells. So moving into some headlines, so here's the thing the thing that's wild. Witchway has pretty much always celebrated Pride. We've always had LGBTQ+ themed articles in our June issues. However, Witchway isn't one of those, like, we don't just do it in June, right? A lot of our writers, models, photographers, our tech editor is either gay, trans, bi, non-binary, etc. So we live this all year long. So it really kind of surprised me because Pride has never really been a huge thing in a mainstream way. And I think this year we're seeing a lot of, like, giant corporations feeling like they have to, like, be super progressive, which is great. You know, that's like what we want. But it's also stemming a lot of like rainbow capitalism. And for those who don't know what that means, like maybe you've heard the word, but, or you've heard that term, but you don't know what it means. And keep in mind, I am not a political expert. I am not a LGBTQ plus a historian or a like philosopher. So this is just what I've noticed. Like I said before, please do not get all of your news from podcasters or YouTubers for that matter. But rainbow capitalism is the companies that harm or do not stand up for LGBTQ plus people, yet will do so in June just with sell merch. Right. So that's kind of what rainbow capitalism is. Basically, they only care about this group of people when it makes the money, and the rest of the year, they either are actively hurting this group or don't stand up for them at all. So, we're seeing that a lot this year, and I was really surprised by it. And normally, I'm just like, not the rainbow capitalism itself, but just how hard Pride has hit mainstream this year compared to what I've seen in the past. So I was really surprised, but I figured it's a great opportunity to talk about the history of Pride and what Pride actually is. And I'm happy that we finally live in a day and age where you can talk about Pride for maybe 5 minutes and not have to apologize about it, even though I still have the urge to do so. So this information, it's 8 defining moments in history, is from Miss Magazine. So first, the one everyone should know about is 1969, the Stonewall Riots, because I am talking to witches. If you read Alice Hoffman's Rules of Magic, this was represented in that book. The Stonewall Riots are credited with sparking the modern LGBTQ rights movement, but at the time it was simply an outpouring of bottled-up anger towards the police. The Stonewall Inn was one of the most popular places for gay men, lesbians, drag queens, and trans women to gather in New York City, perhaps because it was one of the only places LGBTQ people were able to dance. In June 28th, 1969, the police raided the inn and arrested several people for wearing clothes that didn't match their sex assigned at birth. One lesbian resisted arrest and was hit with a baton. A huge crowd gathered to watch, and they began yelling and throwing anything they could, throwing anything that they could find, fighting back en masse for the first time. For the next 5 days, riots raged every night on Christopher Street, where most of the gay-friendly bars in the city were located. Trans activist Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera were among those who fought back against the police, combating years of brutality, marginalization, and it was a turning point that launched countless LGBTQ groups and activists, and thrust LGBTQ rights into the spotlight. Then, so I'm going over 8 moments, so bear with me. In 1970, we had Christopher Street Liberation Day. So, to commemorate the first anniversary of the Stonewall Riots, the Eastern Regional Conference of Homophile Organizations moved their annual march to New York City, and what followed is widely considered the first gay pride parade. So, people will often question, why is there gay pride? Like, they don't understand why we have like pride marches, and it is a it's a commemoration of the Stonewall Riots. Let's see. In 1978, the birth of the rainbow flag. In the late 1970s, Harvey Milk, the first openly gay politician in a major city, decided that the community needed a symbol to rally around. The previous symbol, which remains still used today, was the pink triangle. Any of you who watch Rocky Horror Picture Show, you may have noticed this. So the pink triangle is what would mark a gay man in Nazi Germany, and gay men had reclaimed it as a symbol of activism and power at that point. But Milk wanted something more joyous to celebrate gay pride, so he challenged his friend Gilbert Baker to come up with something new. In 1999, Clinton declares June Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. So, this was actually a big deal. In 1999, former President Bill Clinton issued a proclamation officially designating June as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. Then in 2003, Lawrence versus Texas basically was to overthrow sodomy laws and any, quote, unnatural, unquote, sexual activity laws. And this the laws basically that were trying to be overthrown was criminalizing gay sex, particularly gay sex between men. Because as we know, I know it's so weird, but typically a lot of people don't consider sex sex unless there's male genitalia involved. So typically gay sex between women, while also being criminalized, a lot of people don't even consider sex. So you'll often see a lot of these laws involving more men because women were not even, it wasn't even, women weren't even considered seriously enough to even have laws against them. It's really fascinating. But of course, we all know how laws work. If they'll find a way, if they really, really want to put it against anyone. So in 2009, Obama renamed LGBT Pride Month. Basically, he extended the proclamation that Clinton did. Instead of lesbian gay, it became lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered Pride Month. Yeah, and we're still having these updates like currently. In 2015, marriage equality passed. Oh my gosh, so exciting. And then in 2020, the Supreme Court protested LGBTQ workers from discrimination. And we're still having stuff happening today. So I just wanted to share a little bit of Pride history, why it's celebrated, a little bit of how it all happened. And just remember, I am just one lady. I'm not an expert, but I trust Miss Magazine. All right, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and then after this break, we will get to our questions.
Hello to all of my astro gods and goddesses. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, June 7th. The waning crescent moon continues to graze in Taurus's lush pasture today. Here, the moon links arms with Uranus, putting it on the Uranus side of the Saturn-Uranus square. We are challenging our habits today, trying to break the patterns that hem us into the lives that we are currently living. We are only limited by what we believe that we can achieve. Take some time today to examine those thought patterns that are holding you back from achieving your destiny. Do you not believe you're capable? Are you unaware of other avenues available? Do the obstacles feel overwhelming? What is it specifically that's stopping you from becoming the glorious, accomplished self that you are destined to be? Once you find the answer, don't let it daunt you. Take the thing in question apart and plan steps on how to surmount the problem. You have everything you need inside of you to be your best self. Your daily moon mantra is, "We are what we repeatedly do." This has been your Daily Moon Mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Summer solstice is right around the corner. Learn to celebrate the longest day of the year with a subscription box from Fog Couture. This box includes all handmade ritual items, cauldron candle, temporary sigil tattoos, and a fire magic lesson and spells. To get yours, go to fogcouture.com. All right, so this question came to us from listener Jesse. Jesse says, "Hi Tanya, when I'm talking to my spirit guides, angels, or ancestors, do I have to speak out loud, or can they hear my thoughts if I invite them to? I often like to silent meditate with them while I'm falling asleep, but then I wondered, do they hear me? Or am I just having long, drawn-out conversations with myself? And on a similar note, do spells have to be spoken out loud? As always, thank you for the podcast." Thank you, Jesse. Okay, so this is actually a very interesting question that I have never ever thought about. So I do have thoughts, And let me tell you what those thoughts are. I'm trying to like form them into coherent sentences. But let me tell you, I will often have full conversations with myself. There have been times on the Facebook group where I will just keep talking and reiterating the same information over and over again. And then I go back and just delete it. Because I'm like, I'm just talking to myself. I'm not having a conversation with anybody right now. So no, I get it. But no, I don't think your words have to be said out loud. Here's the thing. I believe spirit guides, ancestors, angels, any entity that we work with, I believe we talk to them through the ether, the further, or whatever, the other world, the spirit world, whatever you want to call it. And when you meditate, that is kind of the world you are tapping into. So, because we speak to them that way, anyways, I don't believe your words have to be spoken. I think you can think them or you can speak them in your mind's eye, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. I think speaking out loud can be helpful for you and for you to get your intention out. While I'm not saying it's necessary, I think for spell work, sometimes putting our intentions, our feelings, or our thoughts into complete sentences helps them make sense. Because when you think thoughts, it can kind of bounce around and jump around and move around and like wish-wash. But when you have to actually write it down into like a grammatically correct sentence, it clears up a lot of things. So no, I don't think you have to speak out loud for entities to hear you. As for spell work, I don't think you have to say the words out loud. However, I think it can be helpful. But thank you for reaching out, Jesse. I had never thought about that before. It's such a great question. Let's see. Our next question comes from our Facebook group. This comes from listener Amy. Amy says, "Blessed be witches. I am a new witch and I just love this podcast and group. I have learned so much wonderful things. I actually have been studying the craft on and off for years and always have been afraid of how people would react, so I would stop. I have been married twice to the wrong men and finally met someone, and I feel this person is my soulmate. And he has encouraged me to get back into it. I have started practicing again and I feel alive. This podcast has really made me feel like I can be myself and explore and discover and enhance my gifts. I am a nurse of 21 years, 18 in LND. I don't know what LND is. Postpartum. Oh, labor and delivery, I'm guessing. 18 in LND and postpartum. And I feel so privileged to be able to help these women during this changing moment in their lives. I have always wanted to help and be there for people. I classify myself as a solitary witch, and I'm happy to be able to say that I can use my gifts to help others. Any advice you could give me to this path would be much appreciated." Oh, thank you so much for writing in. One, I'm so happy for you that you found someone who encourages you to do things you like to do. I always view that as a very important part of a relationship, is to be with someone who encourages you to be the most you possible. Because ideally, they should like you, right? So I'm very happy for you. So Elise actually responded to your question. She said, "My story is very similar. I've been married twice before and never felt I was in a safe space to practice, so I stopped. But now I'm with someone that encouraged me to go back. I'm happy you are here. This is a great community." One thing I did want to say, because Amy touched on this, about how much she likes our Facebook group, I just want to give a quick reminder, and nothing big, but our Facebook group is ran by volunteer admin, right? Just members of our listener group, Frankie and Courtney, who are just nice enough to admin the group. So here's the thing. That means it's, and like, I admin it as well. It's not, we're not going to be perfect at it. We're not going to be perfect admin. We may remove posts we shouldn't have removed. We may leave posts that we should have removed. If you're posting the same post over and over and over again and it keeps getting removed, and you're like, "Well, I changed three words in the third one," at that point, we're just considering it spam. But here's the thing, if you get like really angry or mean or entitled when to any of the admin, we are just going to remove you. Like, this is not the space we are curating here. There is plenty of that in the witch community. The fact I have to turn off comments for a lot of my Instagram posts say that. Everyone thinks they are smarter than you. Everyone thinks they know more than you. And everyone thinks, no matter their level of experience, that they are the hottest shit in town. And you can find that literally everywhere. So our group is not about that. And if you start radiating that energy, we're just swiftly going to just quietly remove you. Because I do consider our group very special. I think our group is very positive and caring. And that is all. Welcome to the tea. Welcome to the drama. All right, so let's move on. For a little magic today, this entire week is the festival of Vestalia. So we're going to talk a little bit about Vestalia. Excuse the coughing, guys. You know me. So this comes to us from learnreligions.com. Writer Patty Wigington, one of my favorite writers for Sabbats and holidays and histories. I like her writing because she's very concise and tight, doesn't go too much tangent, and I really enjoy it. So I do have a link to that article. Patty writes, "The Roman celebration of Vestalia was held each year in June near the time of Litha, the summer solstice. This festival honored Vesta, a Roman goddess who guarded virginity. She was sacred to women and alongside Juno was considered a protector of marriage. The Vestalia was celebrated from June 7th to June 15th and was a time in which the inner sanctum of the Vestal Temple was open for all women to visit and make offerings to the goddess. The Vestals, or the Vestal Virgins, guarded a sacred flame at the temple and swore 30-year vows of chastity. One of the best-known Vestals was Rhea Silvia, who broke her vows and conceived twins, Romulus and Remus, with the god Mars." I always love these stories that people are just hooking up with gods. It's like I always think, I'm like, is that the dream or are they like toxic bros, you know? It was considered a great honor to be chosen as one of the Vestals and was a privilege to be to a privilege reserved for young girls of particular birth. Unlike the other Roman priesthoods, the Vestal Virgins was the only group that was exclusive to women. So I'll link to the article. She shares worshiping ideas and other ways you can celebrate or learn more. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I do want to give a shout out to the listener, Judith Weeks. Judith, you badass magical butterfly. I also want to give a shout out to listener Candace Cabell. Candace, you fancy rule ba rule you fancy rule breaking fae queen. I also want to give a shout out to listener Amy Sues. Amy, you glowing powerful seer. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate you. Also, we do have a card pull before we leave today. Our card is Fire from the Witch Daily Oracle. Fire is all about illumination, passion, and rebirth. Timing is now. For yes or no, it is yes. This was contributed by Frankie. To be fire is to be alive. It is passionate, ambitious, honest, and authentic. Just like fire, passion is one that is all-consuming and can often be blinding. If controlled carefully, this card can give you everything you've ever wanted, or it can take it all away. Love reading, passion given to it. Career reading, you're feeling that fire under you move. Health readings, spices that make the body move, such as cinnamon, cayenne, and ginger, may be exactly what you need right now. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. A quick heads up, Kiki and I are going to be at the Pagan Unity Festival at Chapel Hill, Tennessee this weekend. So if you're there, I think it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I think we'll be there Friday and Saturday, Sunday maybe. I'm not sure. I gotta check with Kiki. But if you're there that weekend, come say hi. All right, that's all we've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, or anything else we referenced can be found in the podcast episode description. Hope you have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find The Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.